What was it that you wanted to become before other people told you what the correct thing to become was? So I think the real question is not necessarily about purpose, but it is how much are you willing to believe that what God has put on the inside of you is enough for you to be successful? Today's podcast episode was inspired by a question sticker response on Instagram. And just to give you a little bit of context, this was around September of 2022. And I was basically on Instagram speaking about the fact that I was shocked at the fact that I'm 22. Like, it's a shocking thing because at that time that I was recording that, we were having a discussion in the house and my mom just pointed out the fact that she was married at 22. And then my siblings looked at me because I'm the 22-year-old in the room, or at the time I was 22. And it was like, damn, like, you are as old as mama was when she was married. And then within the year of her being 23, she gave birth and was a whole mama to a child. And a year later at 24, she gave birth to her second child, which is my sister, and etc. And it's just like, yo, you were really like cooking pap and vors for your husband. You were really doing this thing. That's crazy. Like, that's very wild. And I think at the time I was very shocked at my age and the whole of 2022, honestly. So a little bit about myself. I was born in the year 2000, which means that every single time someone says the year, I am reminded of my age. So whenever people say, oh, today's the 5th of July, 2022, then I'm like, oh, damn, I am 2022, aren't I? Oh, today's the 17th of March, 2027. Oh, damn, I am turning 27, aren't I? You know, and it's just something that keeps shocking me all the time. But I think this year, for the first time in all the years that I've been turning a specific age, I don't necessarily feel shock. I don't necessarily feel like I am displaced. I don't feel like a child in an adult's body. I mean, yes, there are moments where it's like, yo, we're really doing this adulting thing. But for the most part, I kind of feel my age. Like, for the first time, I feel my age. And I'm saying for the first time because obviously when you are growing up, you sort of have expectations about what every single phase of your life is going to look like. So as a tween, I used to grow up thinking, yo, when I become a teenager, this is what it's going to look like. Because obviously in the movies, they depict teenagers as people who are emotionally unstable. They're misunderstood and they're rebellious. They just want to do their own thing. But growing up, I had always been the obedient child. And so when I was approaching the age 13 in 2013, I was under the impression that something magical will just fall out of the sky and kick my goody two shoes off the table. And then the spirit of rebellion would just overtake me and I would slam doors in my mom's face and say, I hate you, you know, and do the whole fit. And the crazy part is the moms in the movies never fight back. Like, every time the child slams the door, I hate you, mom. You're ruining my life. It's like, oh yeah, cool. And then the mom will go and sob and cry because it's like, oh no, she's a teenager. She's supposed to act that way. And so for me, like, I don't wanna lie, a part of me low-key looked forward to it. Like, a part of me was like, I can't wait to just live my life and do what I wanna do. And my mom's just gonna say, it's fine, forgive her, guys. She's a teenager. But when I turned 13, I still remember turning 13 because we went to Cape Town. So my dad had like a whole job thing that he had to do. And then we decided to turn into a family vacation because it was school holidays. Everyone's on leave anyway. Let's all just pack up and go. And so my dad and I and my family and my mom and my siblings, I don't know why I'm saying my dad and I. I'm so used to saying my dad and I because it's just my dad and I in this life. Not really. I'm lying. I just live with my dad. So a lot of the times it's just the two of us in the house. So when I'm ever explaining stuff or what's going on, I'm just like, oh, you know, my dad and I, oh, you know, my dad and I, it's just force of habit, child. But anyway, so we were in Cape Town and I remember it was so uneventful because first of all, my birthday is in July, which means that it is definitely raining all day, every day in Cape Town. And I don't know, man, I always woke up on my birthday kind of feeling disappointed because I expected the power of the new age to evoke something different in me. Like, I want to wake up. I remember taking a walk with my mom on the 1st of January of one of the years between 2015 and 2018 during my high school. And I asked my mom the question, like, how do you feel? Like, don't you feel a new energy or a new something now that you're going to be this age and now that we're in this year? And my mom was just like, no, dude, it's just a new year. It's just another day. And I think when I turned 16, it was really the same thing. I woke up and I was like, okay, I'm 16. It's just another year. It's just another day. You turn 19. And I think 19 is the one where you kind of have this like different kind of feeling, because when you're 19, you're outside. Like for most people, 19 is the age that you're out of your parents' house for the first time. You're at res, if you're fortunate enough, in varsity and doing your own thing out there. And so at 19, you kind of feel like, yeah, the power is mine and I'm kind of doing, you know, what I want to do. And I think an idea that I had growing up, like as a child, I always thought when I become a teenager, I'm gonna start wearing crop tops, and I'm like, the power of crop tops is just gonna overtake me. But then I became a teenager and I was insecure, and then I didn't want to wear crop tops. So the power of crop tops didn't overtake me until I was like 21, and then I only started wearing crop tops. But then there's also the narrative, I think, for a lot of people where you map out your life as a child to say, oh, by this age I'll be married, and by this age I'm gonna move out the house, and by this age I'll do all these amazing things. And I know for me, by the age of 23, I had thought, bro, I'd be outside. Like, I would be out of my parents' house, just kind of doing my own thing as an engineer with my own apartment, with my Mercedes Benz, you know, just living large. And then when I'm 25, after a good 3, 4 years of being a strong, black, independent queen, star woman, I would then find the love of my life and we just get married the same year and then have kids like 2 years later. And that's just how life would be. But I think, and you probably already also know this, that as you grow up, you start to realize how some of the expectations that we placed on ourselves as children aren't necessarily how life plays out. And I don't really know. And I, when we catch this person, we need to find this person. I don't know who decided that at the age of 25 or at the age of 30, that's like going to determine whether or not your life has been successful or not. Like, if at 25 you don't have your things together, you, my dear, are unsuccessful. If at 30 you don't have your things together, my dear, it is down the drain for you. I don't know where that construct and that concept comes from, but I definitely know that in my life personally, it's something that I had to detach myself from. I had to detach myself from the idea of my success being based upon a timeline that I set as a child. And this podcast episode, like I was saying, is inspired by this question that I received, and I just want to read it to you so you have context of what in the world I'm speaking about. Fun fact, I actually was going to just come on here and speak about age and all the different things about age, but I think today when I was in church and just like very randomly, I'm definitely not prepared for this. I'll tell you that for free. I don't have any notes or anything like that, but I think I was kind of like thinking and meditating on the question, and as I'm listening to the sermon, I keep thinking about this question and I keep going back to the idea of purpose. I think so many people that I meet, young and old, are constantly trying to find their place in this world. Like, if we were all Lego blocks, I want to know where I fit in this Lego building structure thing, right? I want to know where I fit as a piece in this bigger puzzle that God has for my life. And I think if you're anything like me as a perfectionist, a lot of the times when it comes to purpose and being a Christian, I want to do the right thing. Like, I don't want to live a centimeter outside of what God planned for me. But sometimes that pressure kind of stifles you and puts you in a position where you aren't even able to take the first step of faith or take a step in one direction because you're just afraid that you're going to miss out on the plan of God for your life. And if you're anything like that, if you're anything like me, child, one scripture that really, really, really carried me through that and helped me break that was Romans 8:28, that says that God works all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I think that there is a level of grace that God will allow for our mistakes and our missteps and our shortcomings, as long as the motive and the heart behind it was, I was trying to serve God. And I was, hey, but also like, hey, some people do crazy things in the name of God, but that's not the point. That's not the point, right? So the question says, I wanted to ask Bask, and it's from Lesedi, K_LesediB_. Shout out to you, girl. It says, I want to ask Bask, Bask, why Bask? I want to ask Bax, what a tongue twister, Ooh, has to ask, okay, be serious. I want to ask Bax, how does it make you feel starting over at 22, especially with a new degree? Weren't you feeling the pressure like maybe your peers are ahead of you or doubt your decision? How did you tackle that? And if you know me, one thing that you do know is that my very favorite book in the whole wide world, girl, is Becoming by Mrs. Michelle Obama. And I think for a number of reasons, I'm drawn to this lady and her life. And it's simply because of the fact that she is really good at, and this is what I've seen. And if you don't have the book, you can go watch the documentary on Netflix, assuming that you have Netflix. There's a documentary, and you can kind of like follow her through the process of her book tour, and she gives you glimpses into the book and everything that she put into that. But I think a superpower that Mrs. Obama has that I'm almost trying to harness in everything that I do here on the internet is the power of storytelling. Like when you watch the Netflix documentary, I've seen how she takes people who are in very desperate situations, who are in dire situations, and empowers them, not by telling them that you can do it, girl, you're powerful, but she takes their story, listens intentively, and then shows them the parts of their story that one makes them special, but two is the reason exactly why they will succeed because of that same circumstance, because of where they come from. They are destined to be great. And the book comes with, this is not an advertisement, just by the way, I just really dig this lady. So I've got the book, and if you are watching this on YouTube, you can see, but it comes in two parts. So there's the book, which is the actual thing that you read, and then there is the journal, which is almost like an exercise book where she asks you a couple of questions that make you dive into your childhood and unpack different scenarios, and then your teenage years and unpack different scenarios, and then your adulthood and unpack the person that you are becoming. And I love how she describes this idea of becoming, and it says, becoming isn't about arriving somewhere or achieving a certain aim. It's forward motion, a means of evolving, a way to reach continuously towards a better self. So becoming a successful person for me was the first thing that I had to reframe for myself, because I think a lot of the ideas that I had attached to success were based on the standards that society had put in place, like, oh, success means you have a car and an apartment and a white picket fence by the age of 25. You know, success means that you move out of your parents' house by this age. Success means that you're married. Success, there's so many different things depending on your cultural background and the community that you grow up in that define success. But I think when you decide what success means to you, there are a lot of things that don't necessarily hinder you. And in the very first pages of this journal, the question that she asks, and that's the relevance to this question, is, do you have any favorite quotes? Capture three of them here, right? And these are the three quotes that I wrote in my journal of becoming. I said, the first one, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could only say, God, I've used everything that you gave me. And that one is a quote by Irma Bombach. The second one is by Steve Jobs. And this is what Steve Jobs says. He says, your time is limited, so don't waste it by being someone, by living, excuse me. So don't waste it by living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of other people's opinions drown out your inner voice. And most importantly, have the courage to follow your heart and your intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. And then the very last one is by Muhammad Ali, but I think I'll chat about that one a bit later. I just want to focus on the first two that speaks about your talent and then other people's expectations of you versus the thing on the inside of you that is calling you towards something. And there was a sermon that I was listening to by Pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts, girl. And she was speaking about hope, right? Hoping again. And I think when we grow up, something that we definitely lose as we get older is the ability to hope and the ability to dream. Because when I think about 7-year-old Barbara, who had dreams to become a TV presenter, you know, and then later on it was archaeologist. I can never say that word right. Archaeologist, archaeologist. I don't know, girl, but you get what I'm saying. right? The dreams that I had as a 7-year-old were unlimited. And I think I knew exactly what it was that I was passionate about because you're a kid. No one has taught you what money is. Nobody has taught you about the responsibility and hardships of life. And I think maybe in the South African context, that might not be true for everyone just because, hey, Kunzima here. And our context is very different. Some people, grew up being the head of the household even at that young age. But I think for most who are in middle class, as a child, you could be absolutely anything you wanted to. And I think that's what that Steve Jobs quote speaks to, is the question rather of what was it that you wanted to become before other people told you what the correct thing to become was. And I think for me, the reason why I don't necessarily feel behind or I don't feel bad about like where I'm at in life, the fact that I haven't moved out of my parents' house is one, a certain level of privilege, obviously, because my parents do allow me to stay with them and like that's fine. But also, B, the fact that my decision to change my degree and start all over again and build from the bottom came from a conviction that I had to say that I don't want to ever live a life that someone else has planned out for me. Because at the end of the day, our elders die. Like at the end of the day, our parents leave, and then I'm stuck with the consequences of the actions I took because I was trying to live up to an expectation of people outside of me. Crazy. I think even when it comes to graduation, because 2023 is the year that I was supposed to graduate. So right now, everyone that I started first year, well, not everyone, but most people that I started first year engineering with are graduating. And here I am still trying to get a bursary so I can go into second year because right now it's not looking good. It's definitely not looking promising. But that's not the point. The point is, here I am at this place where the people in my class were born in 2004. Like the people in my class were born in 2003. They are young. And I'm definitely one of the top 10 oldest people in our class. But I'm content with that. Why? Because I feel like I'm finally in a position where I'm functioning at the capacity that God designed for me to function at. I think there's a quote, actually. I took a picture of it in church this morning, that my pastor was sharing with the congregation. And I thought, this is exactly what the people need to hear. And this is what it says. It says, when things are working in their intended design and purpose, they will endure even in the most difficult of times. And I think for me, the misconception that I think a lot of people have about my life, especially like older people, is that because now, not even older people, even my peers, I think I've seen how like sometimes people don't necessarily respect the boundaries that I've put in place regarding work. If I say, hey, I'm working from 9 until 5 o'clock, and for me, working looks like making TikToks, working looks like sitting on Instagram stories and just having conversations with people, tapping into different things, watching different YouTube videos, watching movies, knowing what's happening, what's trending. Like that's part of my job, is creating content requires me to consume content. And I think I've kind of seen how from the outside, for a lot of people, it's like, oh, you're not really working, you're just wasting time. You're just like, you're just doing your own thing. And I think it's not until you step into the shoes of being an actual content creator that you're actually able to see how much work goes into it. The fact that one video could take me 16 hours to edit, like the video that I did with Ndavi, attending Ndavi's Miss Universe campaign thing and helping out, 16 hours to edit one vlog. That's a bit insane. Like, that's crazy. And it's put me in a position where, and I read Thato Rampedi posted this tweet once where I feel like I talk about Thato Rampedi a lot, ne? But it's fine because he's a goat. He deserves to be spoken about. Let's continue. But he was saying it's so hard for him to discipline himself to a point where he closes the laptop at 5 o'clock, because I think when you work in the space that I work in, there's never any time that I knock off. Like, the comment section never switches off. It doesn't pause after 5 o'clock. It never goes away. My Instagram account doesn't deactivate magically. So the work kind of continues. There's always stuff to be edited. There's always stuff that I can film. I can film myself getting ready for bed at night because that's a night routine. I can film myself getting ready in the morning because that's a morning routine. And there's so much pressure almost to turn every single aspect of your life into content. And so what I found is, even though when I was an engineering student, I definitely was working hard, I was barely sleeping, I'm working 10 times harder as a content creator. But I don't necessarily, it doesn't push me into a point of depression, and it doesn't push me into a point of Burnout, yes. Sometimes I get burnt out, but that's on me. Like, that's definitely my fault. But I think it's not a pain for me to do this simply because I'm working in what I believe to be my intended design and the purpose that God had for me all along. And just on the topic of purpose, when I think about the story of Moses, right? You think about the story of Joseph in the Bible. And if you don't know the stories, you can literally just go on Google and say Moses Bible story summary. And Google will pull out everything and give you a summary. But if we take Moses, and you know Moses is my favorite example, God literally speaks to Moses and says, okay, that which is in your hand, that's exactly what you're going to use. And although every single time that Moses was walking in his purpose, it didn't always look the same. I think even though right now I believe that I'm working in my design purpose for my life, I definitely know that there are many other gifts and talents that God has put inside of me that at a different time and at a different season will have to come into play and then take over. And so when I think about it, I think about the gifts that God has given us, right? Our innate, inherent, innate, inherent, girl, what is this English? Innate, inherent gifts that we are kind of born with, that we have the biological inclination to do. A lot of the times when you look at the things that you were passionate about as a child, look at the dreams that you have as a child, they kind of point you to the purpose that you already knew was on the inside of you. And so for me, I was always the talkative child. I was always the storytelling child. Fun fact, I've never actually told you guys this on the internet before, but when I was in grade two, I had a show, right? And this show was called Tokoloshi Stories. I hope that somebody who used to watch Tokoloshi Stories can just be in the comment section by some miracle of God and testify to this. But our school had like transport. Well, it wasn't the school's transport, it was just transport. And there's like first load, second load, third load of transport. But what the transport drivers used to do is if, let's say there were 20 kids that lived in Amberfield, or like only 5 kids that lived in Amberfield, and one was in grade one, and then the other 4 kids are like in grade seven. Because grade sevens come out an hour later at school than the grade ones do, the transport driver wouldn't want to take the grade one child all the way to the other end of Centurion. So they would rather wait an extra hour, and they don't wait with the child. So while the child is waiting, the transport driver's running their routes and doing their thing. And this kid would have to wait for the older kids to come out. And when I was like in grade two, I realized that actually a lot of us are just chilling here waiting for our transport drivers, or our parents can't afford aftercare and we have to wait until 4 o'clock when our mom knocks off. But technically school comes out at 1 o'clock. And so we used to go down to the netball courts, and we had this really big tree underneath the netball court, and everyone would sit down. I don't even know how this came to be, like, how did I become the appointed storyteller? But everyone would sit down at the netball court at the feet of this tree, and I would be standing by the tree and telling stories. And so I remember this one story in particular. I can't remember all the stories I've told during Tokoloshi Stories, but it was almost like a comedy show to some degree. And there was this one day where our school was infested with bugs. I don't even know what you call those bugs. It's like those, I think they call them fire ants or something like that. That's what the teachers used to call them, something ants. And they're basically these little like dragonfly, almost like creatures, but they are ants, not dragonflies. And they lose their wings. So in the mornings, you just find wings everywhere at school. And then at break time, you'd find them climbing out of like the weirdest places and just like infested everywhere. And so it was a thing because obviously we're in grade two. And when those ants and those flies are like infesting the school, it's something that is bothering us as grade twos because we are afraid. We are terrified for our lives. And I remember telling the story of how these ants are actually a very big part of society and they're so important. I don't even know how I came up with this stuff. And I remember like standing underneath that tree telling the story about the ants and why ants are important. And obviously, this is all like in a joking fashion. So, the same way that I'll have the podcast, or on Instagram rather, that's a better example. The same way that I can make any, I don't know, any situation, like the fact that we're growing older, or the fact that Valentine's is coming and we have no boyfriends, like the same way that I now take those things and turn them into content and make it something that we can all laugh about and sort of like walk away feeling better about, I would do that about things that were plaguing us as grade twos in that time that we were in at school. And it wasn't until like the other day when I was trying to really journal and pen down my thoughts, because obviously I'm preparing for Miss Essay and I need to have like my advocacy plan in ooh, girl, it's a lot. I don't even wanna lie, pray for me, y'all. It's like, pray for me. But in preparation for Miss Essay, I remembered the story of me being a storyteller from such a young age, and I was like, I have actually low-key been doing this my whole life. Like when we move on to my robotics years, right? Although I was in the South African robotics team, I definitely was the spokesperson. And what was my job as the spokesperson of the team? Yes, I was part of the robotics part. I did do the coding. I did put together. Yeah. But just like every single team has got a captain and a spokesperson, I was the spokesperson of the team beyond my duties as a team member. And so my job on a day-to-day basis, when we were having competitions, when we were looking for sponsors, was to be able to craft our stories, all five of us in that team, to make one story that tells the story for our country and for the youth of our country. And so every single time, I remember there was this one, you've probably seen it on an episode of Becoming Barbara. I was 17 and I was speaking to a reporter from BBC and I was telling him how Africa has been a really dark continent for the longest time. And I think it's really beautiful to see that right now at the Robotics Olympics, we've got so many African countries topping the league that you can kind of see how the narrative has been reversed. That's not the point. The point is, still at the age of 17, almost 10 years later, after Tokoloshe stories, I'm still telling stories of hope using things that were once sad and once not very desirable. And now that I'm 23, I'm doing the exact same thing that I was doing as a 7-year-old, as a 17-year-old, as a 23-year-old, which is telling stories, except now the stories from time to time get a little bit serious. We're speaking about colorism, we're speaking about body politics, desire. There's so many different issues and things that we tackle. But because I'm living in my natural gifting, I'm living in what God has put on the inside of me, it doesn't feel like a burden. I'm not upset at the fact that my peers are graduating engineers. If anything, I'm happy for them. And I hope that they are happy for themselves. And this is where they genuinely want to be. Because when you're in a position where you genuinely want to be, and I'm going to read you the Muhammad Ali quote, I think you're able to withstand anything, just like the quote says. And so he says, Muhammad Ali, right? Y'all know Muhammad Ali. I'm sure you do. He says, I hated every minute of training, but I said to myself, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion. And I think what purpose does is give you the conviction to be able to suffer through trials, to be able to suffer through situations where maybe things didn't turn out the way that you did, to be able to suffer through people looking like they are advancing while you aren't making any progress, because you understand that the work that you are doing is important. And more than the work that you are doing being important, this is the work that God has called you to do. And in the book of John 15, now I'm just pulling scripture out of my head, my God, right? But in the book of John 15, wait, pause. Before we go into John 15, there's actually a proverb that came to mind. And it's the proverb that speaks about the fact that your gift will make room for you. And even in that, just in seeking my purpose and looking for my purpose, when we look at the story of me being in Tokoloshe stories at grade two, moving on to becoming a spokesperson for South Africa, to where I'm at now, making content with almost 500,000 views on YouTube, that's an insane amount of views to have. Every single opportunity that I've had, this camera that was given to me for free by Sony, was literally as a result of my gift making room for me. I was good at math and science, so my gift made room for me to be in a robotics team. And so I think if you look through your life and look for a golden thread, you'll find that time and time again, there is something that you've constantly been doing. It might not come in the same package all the time, but if you look really hard and if you take the time to think about it, also just exercise wisdom and ask God, really pray about it and ask God to lead you through this thing and open it up to you. Because again, going back to my very favorite example, the example of Moses, when God wanted to use Moses to part the Red Sea, when God used Moses to deliver the Israelites, God didn't give Moses anything new. He didn't all of a sudden like impart on him a brand new anointing or a brand new grace. And yes, maybe it did happen along the way, but the question that God asked Moses is, Moses, what is in your hand? And Moses says, it's nothing. It's just a stick. It's not useful. It's not going to do anything special. It's just a stick. And God says to him, it's not just a stick. Throw it on the ground. The stick becomes a snake. Gasp. He picks it up. It's a stick again. And God says to him that, you see this stuttering of yours, this stick that you have, with everything that you have right now, all you have is all you need. Go out there into Pharaoh's kingdom, rule palace thing place, right? When he asks you, who are you? You tell him, I am. And you tell him, I am sent you. And that will be more than enough. It's God's responsibility at the end of the day to promote me. It's God's responsibility at the end of the day to enlarge my capacity. It's not my thing. So for as long as I am walking according to the steps that he has ordered for me, for as long as I'm walking the direction that he is leading me, then it's his responsibility to make sure that that direction succeeds and that direction works out. So I think the big part of purpose and the big part of success and growing up is learning to take that responsibility of becoming something that you can be proud of, off of yourself and back into God's hands. The real question is not necessarily about purpose, but it is, how much are you willing to believe that what God has put on the inside of you is enough for you to be successful?